This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Twinmotion, the simple real-time rendering solution to create high-quality imagery, client presentations, and interactive experiences that help communicate your design ideas fast.
Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning, everyone.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, before we get into the conversation today, one thing I wanted to point out, I did a poll on Instagram.
Okay.
Based on our topic 2 episodes ago, our first one together, asking people if they felt that we can design spaces to unify people.
Yeah.
And 100% of people agree.
Said you can.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I was a little surprised.
That's interesting. 100%.
Yeah, and it wasn't just architects. It was a mix of people, like non-architects.
I was about to ask that. I was like, were they all architects?
No. Some were non-architects, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't be the first time I was wrong, that's for sure. Wouldn't be the last. Man, that's crazy. 100% thought that. You never get that.
Yeah.
Like any kind of survey.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Cool. Well, then whoever said that, start designing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess kind of good to see and think that people feel that way, and there's hope that,
because there's a want for it maybe too, right?
Yeah. Because I think if you feel that it's possible, you want it to be possible, and you're hoping for better. So
that's funny. Good for them. Cool.
So for today's topic, I wanted to piggyback on a little bit of our conversation from with Great Builds. We talked about dealing with the city in a part of that conversation, which dovetails into a longer, older conversation that we had about sort of digital versus paper. And right. I'm recalibrating my thoughts about the possibility of going full electronic and kind of cutting out the whole paper thing. I think we can still cut out paper, but going through COVID, I realized that our industry is highly built on communication, not only just written and digital communication, but talking, seeing people face to face.
Sure.
Because you can completely lose track of what someone is thinking about what they're seeing.
Sure.
And I'm sure I haven't had this instance per se with a client, but dealt with this with the city recently, where we were making some changes on a project and had to resubmit to get a what's called an air quote supplemental permit.
Sure.
So in addition to your original permit.
Right.
And we sent plans to the city, and it was all electronic at this point due to COVID.
Right.
And the plan checker got the plans and reviewed it. And we ended up going through, again, this is LA. we ended up going through, I think, like 7 submittals or resubmittals.
Oh, brutal.
And about halfway through, I figured out they are looking at the wrong thing.
Oh, jeez.
And they were like, we had two fan units for a kitchen.
Yep.
And they were basing all their calculations on the old, like a previous one, patching the old numbers to the new situation. And it took me a while to even figure it out, but that disconnect of not being in front of somebody and them saying, you know, this is here, and then having an opportunity to understand what their issue is and say, no, that's not it. This is what's what.
Right.
That was missing, and we lacked that. So it took a while to even figure out what the actual issue was, because we couldn't talk to each other, and for whatever reason they didn't call us. But but that's a lot to ask for a city, I guess. So there was that miscommunication, and then finally we figured out that they were looking at the wrong thing, and then we couldn't get in contact with them to talk through it. So it just like prolonged the whole process. But
how long do you think 7 submittals plus that taking the time to be able to get, how long did that cost you? How many days, how many weeks?
Oh, a lot. I mean, the project came to a stop because of this. And we were like, this can't be this hard. Like, this is very simple, and we've run our calculations and all this other stuff. And so we thought we were right. And I mean, we were, but they were standing firmly that we were wrong. So we're both talking about two completely different things with no opportunity to converse and say and figure out what the disconnect is.
Well, because I think that's key, though. So what do you think that was, 3 months?
So it was about 2 months of this ongoing process.
Like a commercial project or something of that nature, right? Yeah. So they carry on that space. Is how many thousands of dollars a month versus, you know, all, and then lost revenue and all these other kind of things over miscommunication.
Yeah.
Right. Which is super frustrating. Like, you know, I've been through my own projects. You've certainly seen it on your side, and you're like dealing with this, which is not all cities and it's not all people. So that's not entirely fair. Right. But at the same point, we characterize it in a kind of overgeneralized statement. I do it too, but it's like, I had projects halt for months, and it's like over, because I can't get a hold of somebody, or because, you know, well, all, no, now you got to talk to this guy and whatever. And there's no urgency, or, you know, I don't want to say care, but that's how it feels on our side, on the city side, because it's like, well, you know, I'll just do what I can do. And oh, look, it hit 401, you know, I'll have to talk to you tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And it costs people thousands of dollars. I mean, thousands of dollars.
Oh, tens of thousands.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so, it's so frustrating. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of things when you get into the digital side, there's a lot of convenience that comes with it.
Yeah.
Tons of convenience, because if you think about, like, even you and I doing a podcast right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like the ability to do this over Zoom or even by phone or whatever, and you don't have to drive, you know, we're only half an hour apart maybe, but it's not going to cost you an extra hour and a half of your day to go do this, because it's convenient and it's quick and it's easy. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, meetings with people where I can go over paperwork and different things that I email them. And it's like, no, this is where it's at. But I think it's that live component that you're referring to. So my assumption would be, when you guys were going to this, it's like you submit your documents and they review your documents themselves and they send it back. So even if you don't have to be there, like over the counter, like we used to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, or you still do, you know, but like, even if you don't have to do that, but it's like, hey, let's schedule a quick call, Zoom it or whatever, or even like, where are you seeing that? What page are you on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of like, no, not page 4, page 48, you know, what I mean? Like that kind of
exactly.
thing. And you could solve all of that. So I think, you know, kind of you and I were chatting about, I think there's some blend of digital informational age stuff that we have to embrace because there is a lot of efficiency that comes out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, that ability to at least talk live, and even better, utilize something like this, like a video thing where you can literally flip around and, you know, as I'm gesturing, like, look right here. You know yeah. what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like at least you could get on the same page quick.
Yeah.
But I think that's got to be the blend. You know what I mean? Like, because, dude, I love being able to have meetings from my house. You know what I mean? Like, how, like, I'm in a tank top and board shorts right now. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's up, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of time saved and even driving the other day, you know, I don't want to say COVID is over, but a lot of the restrictions are over. And so now the freeways are packed again. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, yeah, like I loved it, you know, during COVID. It was like I could go anywhere I wanted within 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be gained efficiency wise there. I think, you know, and I would tag it right along with the like work from home scenarios too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that can be traded in digital form, but you still have to have that communication, like that live catch back and forth. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Going back to one of your points about, you know, 401 gotta go.
Yeah.
And that's another frustration with the government agencies is that they're so strict about their hours and I don't know what it is. I haven't been able to pinpoint exactly what this is, but LA City in particular, it feels like their plan checkers are always on vacation.
On vacation or out to lunch, one or the other, right?
I don't know what it is, but it feels like every single time I'm in the middle, like someone literally emailed me and said, your permit is ready. Please return these documents and from the contractor and then we'll issue the permit. It was just like Friday at 2 o'clock.
Right.
So obviously it's not going to get done that day. The contractor fills out their paperwork on Monday, send it in probably by like 10 a.m. on Monday. And I get an auto response on vacation. Dude. Like, why did this person even send me an email and start the process when they know they were going on vacation? And it's
or say, hey, FYI, yeah. I'm going to be on vacation next week. Like, don't get my hopes up, right?
You can deal with this person when you're ready or something. Like,
right.
I don't get it. It's just, and yeah, that whole leaving right at 4 o'clock or whatever, it carries over to like during COVID, it was this, when you try to call, you can't get anyone. Mm-hmm. No one at the city will answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And there's only one line, so everyone's calling that one line, and it's always busy. If you call anyone's direct line, it says to email me. Mm-hmm. You email them, and it takes forever if they even respond.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like no care to care about your job on that side. From my perspective, it seems. Let's take a quick break to share a little bit about our sponsor, Twinmotion. What if you could visualize your building in a couple of clicks, remove months of the design process, or create a bridge between stakeholders to solve problems before they even come up? Well, our friends at Twinmotion offer simple, real-time visualization for architects. Their state-of-the-art technology lets you view and edit your scene on the go in the same pixel-perfect quality as the final rendering. Twinmotion seamlessly integrates with other tools like SketchUp and Revit, transforming your BIM or CAD models into high-quality images, panoramas, standard or 360-degree VR videos, or presentations. No wonder it's used by industry leaders like Zaha Hadid Architects and HOK. What's more, you'll have access to the world's largest library of 3D assets to populate your scene. Sound complicated? Well, what if I told you that Twinmotion enables anyone to present their biggest ideas in the easiest way possible, regardless of previous CG experience? or that it uses drag and drop assets and the power of Unreal Engine to truly differentiate your projects. To learn more, visit twinmotion.com, or to download a free trial today, visit our exclusive URL, twinmotion.link/spaces. That's twinmotion.link/spaces to try TwinMotion for free.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can't help but agree with you in a lot of ways. And it feels like it's public sector versus private sector a lot of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're ever going to be able to break that stigma.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we can. And for whatever reason, you know, it's kind of like they, you know, like obviously I coach a lot of stuff, right? And they say those who can't play coach, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Or, you know, those who can't do, you know, are the inspectors, you know what I mean? Like all that kind of stuff. Right. Yeah. And part, or those who couldn't pass architect school become plan checkers, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't want to say that's the case, but God bless, they don't help themselves at all. You know what I mean? Like they just, and that's not entirely fair, because I think we talked one time about, you know, my pool project I had here at the house when I was redoing my backyard.
Yeah.
And went through the whole plan checking process with my contractor, did the whole bit, signed off on everything. And then for whatever reason, it changed. I don't know, plan check guys or the guys that do the approvals.
Yeah.
The inspector. I'd already put in a retaining wall, all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, oh no, now this has got to be set back 2 more feet.
Ah, geez.
I mean, stuff like that. And I'm like, I've already spent $20,000 on this wall.
Yeah.
It ain't moving. Yeah. You know, like those guys. And you just look at them like, but they're like, well, I'm sorry, that's the way it's going to be, that he screwed up. And I'm like, you know, like, when, and then luckily the inspector guy that came on site was super cool. Right. He's like, the guy's a jackass. Don't worry about it. You know, like this kind of thing. He's like, obviously you're not going to move this. Can you do this instead? Yes. Great. No problem. Love yeah. you. Big hug. You know what I mean? You may get you some beers and pizza type of deal and yeah. whatever, but it just, you want that, like a little bit of compassion or a little bit of that, like, let me work with you. Because the funny thing is where I really don't understand it is all the fees they get off of all this stuff pays your bills.
You yeah. know what I
mean? Like those individuals, you know, like if you would work with developers a little bit easier,
yeah,
be that city that everybody wants to work with, mm-hmm. it would create stimulus and cash, whatever, for you, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
If
it wasn't so difficult.
Yeah, but I wonder if some of it, you know, even when we talk about the digital stuff and whatever, I wonder if some of it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if, because even in like our we're in the building side, like the residential side, you know, even when you see like older CEOs, like that other generation, you know, moving on a little bit, it always takes on a new form, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're gonna start doing this and whatever. And so I wonder if some of it has to deal with a lot of the cities have, you know, a guy that's been there forever, and he's kind of like, this is how we do it. This is the only way we do it. Nope, you leave it for, you know, versus someone that finally takes over for that individual when they retire and move on. And it's like, look, let's try this, right? Mm-hmm. It's the opportunity for new policy and stuff. So I hope, you know, that's what we used to talk about with like the next gen and the BIA. It's like, look, we're going to be the ones that are doing this together. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like we're the next crop. We're that next gen, I guess, is yeah. the idea. So how do we implement those things, right? Because yeah. the digital thing, it took me, I think up until 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, time's such a warp, to stop taking like written notes everywhere I went. And now I do notes on my phone and just email it. Not only is it quicker, it's faster, but then I have a digital copy of it and I don't have to worry about saving all this paper or scanning it or doing something dumb like that, right?
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. When I get into a room with, I'll call it the you know, our senior generation, I have to tell them, hey, I'm not texting or paying attention. I'm taking notes. You know what I mean? Like yeah. that's the thing, right? Because if we're not cognizant of that, they would look at us like we don't care.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Right. Again, there's a lot of efficiencies that can be had by it. I think there's a lot that can be gained by it, but you still, even like on Zoom, like I constantly turn your video screen on. Like I want to see, I'm not saying you're not paying attention, but I want to see your expressions. I want to see how interested you look. I want to watch your mouth talk. You know what I mean? Like all these other kind of things, right? I can't see your mouth because you're behind a you know, thing or whatever. but that's the idea in meetings too, right? It's like, is this person really interested or are they just shining me on? I can't tell that when it's behind a phone, when it's behind an email, or when you've got your, you know, screen blacked out on the video call, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there's a blend that we have to find. That's, I mean, why not? isn't that the whole idea of like advancing technology? You know, kind of taking advantage of the new efficiencies that can be created, but don't lose sight of what made you good to begin with, right?
Yeah, exactly. I will say, I think as far as the generational thing go,
yeah,
it's a big part of that. I don't think it's that older generation that is causing the issue in what you were saying. I think sure. it's inexperienced people sure. that are sticking to a sheet of paper rather than real world knowledge to understand that that's not that big of an issue. We can come up with another solution to work within the framework that you have.
Totally fair.
But that's a whole nother conversation that we'll get into later. To speaking to this specific thing, I wanted to just end off by saying, one, plan checkers, please, if there is an issue, just take the extra step. Call the person that submitted the plans to you and talk through whatever the issue is. If it seems to not be going anywhere, that can be beneficial. Take their call if they call you to try to figure out what the issue is. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that communication is super key to what we do. And if you're in any avenue of our end of the building industry, you have to understand how to communicate and how to understand someone and to pull out information from other people so that you can address what their issue is and communicate to them.
Yeah.
Did you have something else?
Yeah, I had one point, and I think it goes really well for just about anything. And we've all seen it when I say it. You kind of said you had seven submittals back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Look, I've seen multiple teammates email people on the same subject like 10 times back and forth. Stop. If they don't get there from an email or a text or whatever in two or three, I understand two or three,
yeah.
call a timeout. You know what I mean? Call a timeout and say, yo, clearly something's being missed. Let's be smart about this and let's just stop here and go. Because the other problem is, like, especially with email, intercompany or out, whatever, it's like they copy the world. So everybody just gets flooded with all these emails. And it's like, just call a timeout. Yeah. If you don't get the point across in a written form in two or three attempts, that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, stop. Just please, God, stop.
Exactly.
And chances are, to your point, it takes 10 seconds. Oh, you're on the wrong page.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just use that as kind of a rule of thumb. You know what I mean? Two or three times, that's it. Then just get together for 5 minutes and solve the problem. That would be awesome.
So agree.
So true.
All right. So thank you for listening. We will be back on Thursday. Talk soon. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try Twin Motion for free. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Small firm entrepreneur architects, get ready to build a better business with the Entree Architect podcast, where business meets architecture. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the host of Entree Architect podcast. Join me every week for inspiring interviews with passionate people that share proven strategies to help you build a better business.
If you think there is a problem, one, you can't make a move until you have a plan in place. The accountability chart really helps plan, okay, for the business 6 to 12 months out, this is what we need.
We cover it all, from financial management to marketing, sales, productivity, and beyond.
There's two sides of it, right? So there's the one when you don't have any work. So you're like, well, I'm either going to charge enough to be profitable or I'm going to go out of business. Or you have so much work and you have backlog and you don't need any more work. So you charge way more.
I'd also say lagging measures, one of the best, like the best. So for any client, for any professional service company, if you're going to take one thing away from what we're talking about today, is to look at a number called the labor efficiency ratio.
Entree Architect is not just a podcast. It's your secret weapon for success. With over 500 episodes, it's one of the longest running architecture podcasts in the world. You're sure to find the information you need to elevate your business. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now and join the community of small firm entrepreneur architects building better businesses.